Because professional is the name of the game on this show, Ryan, as you well know.
We're very professional here.
Yeah. So this is Untitled Car Show. That's Ryan. I don't know how this works in the video, but here he's there.
I think it ends up being this way or this way.
He's this way. See, this is weird because I did mine where it's not mirrored. So it's a little bit, again, professional. So right. It's that way for me. So,
yeah, I can't decide. Yeah, mine's the direction I would think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool.
So we've been working on mostly on my end. You might not be able to tell exactly from the quality of the camera, but I'm going to get a better camera for this. I'm actually working on a DSLR solution. I hope to have up and running here in a bit, but until then I have my wonderful little setup and a better computer so we can do more editing. And it's been what's happened since last we spoke? We've had Thanksgiving. It's been a little trying for Ryan, so there's that. And then it's been more COVID going more worse for everyone, so that's awful. So that's how you start off a show on a good note. And I just noticed the new computer has a slot for a old floppy disk in it, which is not
that's not what you want to see on your quote unquote new computer.
Yeah.
It seems like something that you're not going to want to have per se.
And the form factor for it. But it's working and it's better. So, and it's
perfect.
I got 3 terabytes now. So, suck
it. Wow. Of just storage, which is interesting because I guess I just bought this laptop. It's a ThinkPad. It's a T460 for you ThinkPad enthusiasts out there. Mm-hmm. So, it's got like a 5th-gen mobile i5 in it. It does have a solid state drive, though. Yeah. 128 gigabytes in this laptop. So my phone has more storage than this.
Yeah. And your phone is solid state too.
Exactly. Apparently there's some, because it's a ThinkPad, I guess you can upgrade it pretty easily. So I'm going to be getting one of those. Have you seen those hard drives that look like a stick of RAM?
Yeah.
Apparently you can fit one of those in here. So I'm going to go for like a 1 terabyte of that. And then it should be even faster. This is so simple. Like my other computer that I usually do this on is a pretty badass 10th gen i7. I have a 3070. I was actually lucky enough to get one on launch day.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty badass computer, but this thing for $400 does everything I need it to do. I just did a 10 hours worth of broadcasting for an endurance race this morning.
Yeah.
And this thing performed flawlessly. So I can't say enough good stuff about it.
So let's talk about the endurance race for a little bit, because I'm very curious about how that's working in this day and an age. And so where did it take place, first of all?
So it was actually in Austin, Texas at COTA. It was at the Circuit of the Americas. Hallowed grounds.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Is it hallowed? It's been around for like 4 years.
That was the joke. The first time we went in 2018, we were up in one of the kind of the luxury boxes above the pit lane. The joke was constantly was, wow, these hallowed grounds. I guarantee Bernie Ecclestone has like fired somebody from this spot right here. And so that was the joke that I rolled with. And now every track we go to is hallowed grounds or historic. Historic Mid-Ohio, for example, was one we went to.
Yes, I get it. So I have been unable to like realize the point recently, and I don't know why. But yeah, so I think I remember you going there a couple years ago, and I think we talked about it back then. So how's that working in this day and age with all the COVID restrictions and everything else going on?
So I do it with Driver's Eye Live, and it's a group of people that I've been doing this kind of endurance racing. I used to be a pit reporter. I did that a lot. And then as we've sort of changed gears, we're doing a little bit more video stuff now. So I've been doing more of the kind of in the commentary booth kind of as a color guy. Interestingly enough, and it's something I want to keep talking about, I'm going to keep bringing up here, is there's car guys and racing guys.
Yes.
And they're totally separate. I try really hard to go into that endurance radio broadcast I need more movement. You know, there's the doors, it's very brown, it's very beige. I wanted something going on the screen. I tried to become the
big white wall. Yeah.
Maps, Daytona.
I had maps. Yeah. I keep screwing that up. Yeah.
No, anyway, I try really hard to be the car guy at the racing thing. So when they're talking about, you know, lap times, et cetera, which I fully understand, I'm the one sitting there going, but he's got a Porsche. And if he hits the front of that on something, it's going to overheat.
Right.
So that's something to, you know, keep track of. So right now we had access to like 5 or 6 in-car cameras.
Yeah.
So we cycled through those. on like a 20-second delay, and then we had live timing available as well from Race Hero. And then Joseph Moodrock, who does it with us, has an outstanding Python script that he built himself, and he sucks all of the data out of Race Hero and then puts it onto his own thing. And he has like full race prediction stuff on there. He can tell when the car is about to make a pit stop, all kinds of like deep data stuff on there that kind of helps us if we're not there in person, have something to talk about, you know? But yeah, we just did it remotely. They're, you know, they're, one of them's in Ohio, the other one's in Pennsylvania. Brendan Kaczmarek, the guy that runs it's in Pennsylvania. So we all went into a call, and Joseph produced the video feed, which was just cycling through onboards. It's 90 cars, and we could get six onboards reliably because people like to stream to different locations and stuff like that. So but yeah, it worked out pretty well. We were pretty happy with it. We set actually pretty good view numbers compared to what we were used to. And then it was refreshing because usually we get there and it's a giant pain in the ass trying to set up cameras and liaise with the series and doing all this other nonsense. It just took a lot of time and it kind of killed the fun, which was what we got into it in the first place for.
Yeah,
trying to stretch ourselves into like not our core competency. So now that it's like, yep, send us your feeds. And if you have feeds, great. If not, you're not going to be on the stream. Like, and that sucks. Yeah. And we just got to do our thing. And so it was actually super refreshing. I don't want to do that all the time. I don't like sitting in a room for 10 hours just looking at a screen. But other than that, I enjoyed it. And it was a really, really good race. If you go to YouTube at, I think it's World Racing League. It's Race WRL, I believe. And as well as the Driver's Eye Live page, you will be able to watch a replay of both days. The first day on Saturday, that race ended. It rained right at the end. So you had everything from like a TCR touring car, GT4 cars, a stock Toyota Supra, an Audi, all competing for a win right there at the end. So it was really, actually a really good time.
That is a good time. I always, it's again, car guy. Mostly, and it's one of those things where I really want to get into racing. I know a couple of people who were former race car drivers, and some I'm not really friends with anyone who's currently doing race car driving, but it's one of those things where it's like I really, in my mind, cars come down to, you know, there's the freedom that a car allows you, and that's kind of the thing. It was the great emancipator of the common person. You could go from one coast to the other coast, and it seems kind of silly to start and end at the same place, but at the end of the day, a car really does take you from somewhere and then back to that place. So I kind of get it, and that's where it becomes like the pinnacle of technology and everything. And I really want to get into racing. And I think the best thing that's helping me right now is, ironically, the Fantasy Formula One, because it's forcing me to pay attention to the like pinnacle, I guess, of Formula One, of all racing is Formula One. Everyone who's a race car driver seems to want to get to Formula One, probably because that's where all the money is.
Yeah. No. If you want to make money, you didn't know. No.
Well, I mean, as a driver,
the money. It's the appeal. It's the cachet of having the best cars and all that stuff.
Right.
There's very few people are making money out of Formula One at this point.
Well, I mean, the drivers. I'm saying race cars.
Yes, correct. Driving. The drivers do not make a whole bunch of money in Formula One. If you're in the top five or six drivers, yeah, you make some money. Yeah. The rest of them are doing it for low six-figure sums.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, I'm curious, what do you think? What is, I like World Rally Car, obviously. I like the endurance car stuff. I like anything rally just because the highlights are always the best. You know, it's one thing when you're watching the endurance race, and I love watching, what is it? The 24 hours of Le Mans. I always want to say lemons. And that's always a highlight of the year. I always like trying. Daytona's coming up, right? The roar before the 24 or whatever.
I don't know if they're going to do the roar this year because of COVID or not. Yeah. So it's Daytona will be in late January.
Okay. I know they have something where it's like this. I saw a brief in the emails with all the press releases was like, oh, there's a thing that's going on before the roar with 24. And I don't know if that's taking the place.
They've flipped back and forth on that a couple of times that there was going to be a pre-event and then there wasn't and then there was again. So I would have to check again, honestly. Yeah.
But yeah, Daytona's coming up. That's going to be fun. But again, watching endurance race, the thing that makes endurance racing fun in my mind is you can And again, you sat in a room for 10 hours watching this.
Right.
It's a you're not supposed to sit in my mind and watch endurance racing for the full 10 hours or 24 hours, because that'll just kill you. I know some people do, but like you have to be able to get up and go use the bath. I mean, even the drivers use the bathroom to get out, they change places, all that. And it's that doesn't really lead to good highlights, much like, but then Formula One is kind of boring highlight wise too. So that's why I like world, like rally car stuff, because it's like, yeah, cars go crashy. So I don't know. Maybe that's why NASCAR does so good too. I don't know.
It's the Formula One isn't visually interesting right now, just right. because of the rule set they have. And right. the now, granted, today's race was fantastic. We're recording this on 12/6. So we yep. just had the George Russell in for Lewis Hamilton race, which I'll go into in a little bit more detail yes. later. Mm-hmm. Because that was a fantastic race. It just finished it up about 30 minutes ago. And racing is like baseball insofar as if you just try to, if you're just doing a drive-by 10 minute, like, oh, I'm going to watch it for 10 minutes and it's in the middle of the fourth inning and it's 1-2 and like nothing's really going on. Nobody's hitting home runs. Then you're like, it's kind of boring. If you're there at the baseball stadium and you watch the whole game, then you're able to know, that pitch isn't working for him. That's why this hitter coming up is going to be, and that's what racing is all about. So like in even baseball, you don't have to be sitting glued to your TV 24/7 to do it. Right. But if you generally watch the beginning of the game and you go make dinner and you come back and check again and back and forth, then it's interesting. It's America's pastime.
Right.
You can use it to pass the time, you know?
Right.
So the racing, especially the endurance racing, is very much the same way that if you keep tabs on it, but don't necessarily, you know, glue to your screen for 24 hours or whatever, then it's pretty decent still. I mean, I'm always going to advocate for you should watch the whole thing because that's how you get the most out of it. But even F1, I think F1's short enough that I expect you to sit and watch for an hour and a half. And if you watch from flag to flag, then you'll get, might get something out of it if it's a good race.
Right. Well, that's the thing too, is F1 is also a much shorter race most of the time. So it's shorter than a football game. I can't imagine, you know, not being able to do it, but even still, like really you can turn on the first like 10 minutes of the race and the last 10 minutes of the race and you'll get 80% of the content. I think, you know, today's race is, I kind of want to go into it right now personally.
That's fine.
Cause I played the fantasy F1 and I was like very ecstatic because like going into it, like I'm like, ooh, I'm set up good. I have like, you know, Russell on fastest lap. I have Bottas on pole position. You know, I got my team set up where it needs to go, and this is going to be great. And then I get a message from my buddy who's watching the feed live. I'm kind of paying attention over Twitter, and he's like, no, bad, like crashy, and it's over with. But Russell, I guess, got the wrong tires put on his car, which weird F1 rule. So these are Bottas's tires and you better not touch them. Those are for Bottas, not for you. And then he got a flat not soon thereafter, which I find suspicious. I think Mercedes is messing with him.
No, they have no reason to mess with him. He's assigned a Mercedes driver in their development program. So if anything, they would want him to have a little bit of a confidence boost. I believe genuinely that today was just a disaster for them. And that's, if anything, made their relationship with George Russell at least worse. In the short term, that's not the result they would have wanted. They would have been ecstatic to get a 1-2 and to have George Russell at the front. That would have given them an out to sack Valtteri Bottas, who's currently signed for next year. But if George Russell is as good as George Russell is, I personally feel that they should pay Bottas to go away. Like pay him up front, be like, okay, cool, bye. Like go find something else to do because we want George Russell in the car. In F1, you only get a certain number of tires per weekend. And so that stops it if you have somebody who uses way too many tires in qualifying and then, you don't get to share tires back across. Like, there's kind of a reason for it. At the end of the day, if it's the same number, if you have the same types of tire left, I've always thought it was stupid too. But it's about management of the tire supply, I guess. So, I mean, it is kind of a silly rule. Yeah, but also we're talking about the Mercedes F1 team, which if you notice, if Mercedes aren't leading flag to flag and there's ever a strategy decision to be made, they usually don't tend to make the right call. That more often than not, when there's opportunity for a fuck up,
yeah,
they tend to find it. And again, usually the car is fast enough that it doesn't matter. But any strategy calls they make are usually the wrong strategy calls. And it's something that I think has held them back. I mean, they've won the last seven championships, so like it can't be that bad. But, you know, from really that top tier of they're not Michael Schumacher and Ferrari, like perfect.
Right.
Because of these little fuck ups they keep making here and there.
Right. Like last year they were, Ferrari was nipping at their heels. Now they won, but you could, it was a toss up. And like you said, if there was ever a race where, you know, Hamilton wasn't off in first, that was an issue.
Right.
It's fascinating because it does make me think, like, why do you think that's the case? Because they should have the most experience out of any team out there because they've been the most good for the most long, I guess. But
it's their, so the stereotypical, if you listen to all the like the F1 podcasts, etc.,
yeah,
they use this very outdated stereotype that I guess starts to ring true. When Michael Schumacher was killing fools at Ferrari in the early and mid 2000s, they had Ross Brawn was the team principal.
Yeah.
And then they had Rob Smedley and all bunch of, and the upshot was when all the British people were in charge of Ferrari, the British people and the Germans were there, everything was working out just fine. As soon as Ferrari started hiring all of these Italian people, it all gets very Italian and and like they always make these, it's this characterization that
right.
they make every time. But it's, I mean, they've, the last several team principals they've had, they've gone through and left constantly. So it's, there has to be something to it. It's really a management issue, I think.
Right. I do know that most teams are based out of Britain just because I guess that's
where all the stuff is. That's where all the suppliers right, yeah. are and yeah. all the, yeah.
Which I wonder if that's going to change with Brexit going on, because if you've been paying attention to the news at all.
I don't think so. I think at this point, all of the stuff is so ingrained there, it would be more harm than it's worth to move elsewhere. There are a couple teams that are based in Italy. So Toro Rosso, or whatever they're called now, yeah. Alfa Tauri. Yeah. Them, Haas has one of their bases in Italy as well, but their main, like their secondary base is out here in South Carolina. But their European base is in Italy, and then Ferrari, of course, is in at Maranello. So there's some suppliers there, but then you run into like, well, their supplier is Dallara and not really anybody else. There's lots of little tiny race car part manufacturers that are already well established in Great Britain. So I don't think that's going to change. I think they'll absorb whatever costs are associated with Brexit.
Yeah. Well, it's looking like it's going to be a pretty hard Brexit, because I know they were just talking the other day and it was like, both people have come out like for like the umpteenth time and gone, we want this, they want this, and that does not like work together. So I think they're at the end of this year, it's either give an extension, which isn't going to happen, or it's hard Brexit, which is going to be like the worst case scenario. So we'll see. And in the middle of a pandemic too, that's going to be great. But it's going to be interesting, because it's going to shift, I think, a lot of car manufacturing, you know, out of Great Britain and into,
I can't remember who I saw the other day, but there was some, I want to say it was Honda. Used to make a lot of Civics there. And I think they shifted that production out of Great Britain before that reason, or whoever it was I read, it was some mainstream car manufacturer that decided like, oh, we're not going to continue to fund this factory because we aren't going to pay the tax on it.
Right. Well, it's the import stuff, because then it would have to be an import fee and all that. I think Honda and Nissan, I know Honda had a plan. You're 100% on that. I think
it was for the Civic.
Yeah. And then it's Nissan, and again, it's another small city car, which are big sellers over there. And then I want to say Ford was making something. Yeah.
They used to make the Focus there for a long time, but I don't know. I think that might have even ended earlier. Well, because they had to make them in Europe somewhere, I guess.
I know there's an engine development over there. I know there's a lot of engine development from Ford in the United Kingdom, just because they speak English and most of, you know, Ford's main people speak English. So it just works better that way. So if you can sell something in Europe and you understand the language in which it's being sold, it just makes sense. Like, you know, that's not like, not racism, languagist. It's just, that's the fact. Like, if you can understand, that's why Britain was such a big economic power for a while, because it was the gateway to Europe through from the United States, and I don't, they're kind of handicapping themselves on that, which I'm very curious to see the impact that's going to have on cars, like specifically sports cars coming up, because there's a lot of little sports cars that were kind of, you could tell there was some impact from the Great Britain, like, you know, United Kingdom, England style, like small roadstery things. And I think that's kind of gonna, I think you might see that kind of getting pushed off to the side, because those aren't going to be profitable anymore, I don't think.
Well, very few of those were even made in Great Britain anymore. Yeah. And then you've also got stuff like the Lotuses and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Either are already high margin and they're going to be fine either way, right, or this is going to push them further to the brink of collapse. And of course, in Great Britain, it's always they're about to collapse. They get bought out at the last minute. They spend a bunch of money and then they start to collapse again.
Right.
So I think we're going to see a quickening of that cycle.
Yeah.
Aston Martin, for example, are now, they have an F1 team and somebody bought part of their thing and they're going to sell the rest of it to Mercedes and all this other stuff. So it wouldn't surprise me, especially if Aston Martin manufacturing leaves Great Britain.
Oh, yeah, that's a good, I was thinking more from the consumer end, though, because I know a lot of those cars get sold in Great Britain just because
I see what you're saying.
That's the, they have a high purchasing power.
In terms of having an import tariff on that, okay.
Right,
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
And especially they're already shipping stuff from Japan is where most of them come. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So that might not work out too well.
You had the European Union, you know, power block, funding that, and now that's gone away.
So
now it's like you have, how much is that going to be worth it? I could see, I can't imagine the BRZ FRS thing getting killed off, or what is it now? It's the GT86.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those things that's going to show your age when you get older. Is like, oh, what is that, an FRS? Like, no, it's a GT86, old man. Hey, I remember Scion. That was a brand. Yeah. So that's I feel old. My first car was almost a Scion, but that's like
good
my first car was almost a Tucker.
I think they did a little bit better than that.
Yeah. Yeah, they actually built some, but it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. I'm very curious, you know, we're getting close to the end of the year. We're approaching going into 2021. We're going into a post Brexit world. We're going into a post, like, all the weird tariffs that the United States is all of a sudden putting on everyone, you know, that are going to be hard to get rid of. We're going to be post-pandemic, hopefully soon, and mm-hmm. we're getting to this. I wonder what the state of the car world is going to be, you know, maybe not 2021, that should be pretty much the same, but 2022, we'll have that, you know, used car prices are a lot more now than they were, which is driving down, you know, the price, which is them being competed with new cars, and how is that going to work for, like, sales of all that, but also going to have a lot of people maybe who lose unemployment benefits or can't afford car. It's going to be very weird to see 2022, 2021. I think more of the same. 2022. God, that's going to be a weird world to be in.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be fun. I'm curious to see if the Bronco actually makes it, because
they've got way too much money invested in that to not push it. There's no way they can't cancel that in year three. They can't do it. They've spent so much, because it's not just one. They've built three of them.
True.
They built three models.
Yeah. But does it kill off anything else Ford makes? Because if you're, I mean, the Escape is getting up in age, although they just did a
They just did the new one on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's supposedly all new.
Yeah. Well, the Eco Sport, I think, is dead now. I think that's gone. So I don't know.
Did they really kill that off already?
It was a Fiesta.
I was invited to the launch party for that. I didn't go because I didn't write down the address, but I was invited to the launch for that.
Yeah. That thing is, I see them all over all of a sudden, like, which whenever I start seeing a car all over, typically means that car is dead and people are just trying to shuffle it off. Like, but I think the EcoSport is dead because
it is not. That's what they're selling instead of the cars. That's the thing. That's their only small vehicle they can sell now.
Oh,
so they have to keep it.
Mm.
Of course, the first suggestion is the Ford EcoSport a failure? Which, yes.
Never
a
good sign. Yeah.
It's wretched car.
Yeah. It's a Fiesta, but take all the good parts of a Fiesta and throw them out the window.
Exactly. Let's make a Fiesta worse.
Yeah. It's a terrible car. But I do kind of want a rally sport, the Fiesta ST with the EcoSport suspension, just because I think that'd be hilarious.
I do think that'd be fantastic. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, because the base Bronco is a 1.6. The Bronco Sport is like a 1.6, which is what the EcoSport has.
Right.
So is that
going to make it? I think the Bronco will be a little bit bigger.
Yeah. I don't know.
Or the Bronco Sport, whatever they call it.
Yeah. I'm also curious about Nissan making it through, because I know they're in some financial problems. So
I think they have enough base there that they're not totally screwed yet. So like they just, the story that I heard was that the new head of Nissan, that's not, what's his name, Carlos, whatever. Yeah. They actually have a Japanese guy running it now. I can't remember the guy's name. And he went to a dealer meeting and was all about like, I want you to be open and honest and tell me anything you want to tell me about why we're not doing well or whatever. So he seems, on the surface at least, to be taking the feedback pretty seriously.
Yeah.
I'm told by every person ever that the Nissan CVT that was the huge issue is like better now and they fixed it, which I mean, remains to be seen. Maybe not, but I think that's still going to have a black eye for them. It's kind of the same deal as Mazda. Mazda got kind of a bad rap in the early 2000s, early to mid 2000s. I think we talked about this the last time I was on, that the prices on used Mazdas have only just now started to recover here in the last 3 or 4 years. That they started making good cars all of a sudden, and they still weren't worth anything because of that. So Nissan's at the very beginning of, they need to climb out of that hole and get it together. But I don't think they're really gone yet. Mitsubishi, on the other hand.
I was just thinking, like, if let's play the predictor game. We're in December, so let's make some predictions for 2021 when it comes to this. Okay. If you had to put your money on a brand dying, you know, the obvious choice, I think a lot of people go, well, Mitsubishi doesn't have a big market share, so obviously they're going to be the ones who, you know, impact the most out of this and could lose, but they're also the ones most set up for selling cheap new cars. I mean,
Nissan already is. They're owned by Nissan, and Nissan has already worked themselves into that position by selling dog shit. They already sell Versas, and they sell base Rogues and stuff of that nature, the Kicks or whatever. I think it's the Kicks now.
Yeah,
so it is the Kicks. And Mitsubishi is staring down the barrel of a lot of their product is very old. They just did that Eclipse Cross, but the Mirage is old. The Outlander, old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but again, the Mirage, if you need new car, and you need, that's all you need. You need new car, and it needs to be reliable. And it needs to, and you're, that's all you got. And money is an issue. You go, you can walk into a Mitsubishi dealership with like 10 grand in your pocket and buy that thing cash. Like those things are cheap as dirt.
The problem is you've already, again, you've got Nissan sells the Versa, which is like marginally more expensive, but you can actually drive a Versa on the freeway. Whereas you can't do that in a Mirage.
I've driven a Mirage on the highway. It's not terrifying. It's, you know, with the, with the CVT, that's what I'm looking for in that car on the highway. It gets there. It's not inspiring as a car, but it works. I think so. I think I would rather drive one of those than drive a Versa. I can tell you that much.
Oh, I highly disagree. As much disagree as you can possibly have.
Right.
Those are terrible. I would rather have a Chevy Sonic than one of those, or a Spark, whichever one is which.
Yeah, whatever the hell it is now.
Oh, yeah.
What's the one with the fancy rear door on it? Is that the Spark or the Cruise?
I have no idea.
It's a hatchback. It's like literally the only thing I like about that car. There's a guy in this area, though. It's like a young kid, and he's got one of those turned into a Ute, and it is hilarious.
That's kind of cool.
I do like that. I drove by. I saw him, like, he used to go frequent the Food Line I used to shop at, because that's the sort of place you shop when you drive around a Sonic, Cruise, Ute, whatever the fuck it is. So there is that aspect. I don't know, though. I don't think Mitsubishi is poised to die in 2021. If I had to put my money on any of it, I'm thinking maybe Cadillac I don't know. I like Cadillac. You
they
don't
just
think so?
they just started their running all their EV stuff through them. I don't think Cadillac. I think Buick.
Yeah, but China, like literally, that's the only thing
that
keeps them alive. I mean, Ford's probably not going away.
No.
No, we're not losing. Maybe Lincoln?
Kind no. No. They, again, the Lincoln, Ford, all those, a lot of these, they just released a bunch of products. I really think the most precarious car companies are Mitsubishi, because they overlap so heavily with their parent company.
True. Yeah, there's some
And I think if Mitsubishi doesn't leave, nobody else is in a worse position, honestly. Kia's fine. Hyundai's fine.
Right.
Subaru is fine.
Right.
Toyota's fine. Mazda's fine. Honda's fine. Now, like, again, all of them took a pretty big haircut this year, but I don't think any of them are really pushed to the brink yet. I'm really curious to see how Fiat and Dodge are doing.
That I was going in my mind. I went, well, maybe we're looking at this from the wrong end of the spectrum. And I started going to the luxury things. Then went, well, what's a high horsepower brand? I went, wait a minute, Dodge. Like Dodge, Fiat, Chrysler, they're not really as cheap as their product is, like with the entry level stuff. If you are, I need car, we're in post-pandemic world, you need car, who knows what's going to happen with gas prices and all that stuff. Are you buying a Charger? Like, what's the cheapest car Dodge makes right now? Can you get an Avenger?
No, you can't get an Avenger. They don't do the Avenger. They don't do the Dart, I don't think. The cheapest car might, in fact, be, and now I'm going to have to look it up, the cheapest car might be the Journey. You know, that's the thing. The Dodge doesn't make cheap cars. You know who makes the cheap car? If you need money, you buy the Fiat 500, the Renegade. Right. Or not the 500. Yeah, the Fiat Panda.
Yeah.
You buy the Jeep Renegade. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Jeep is doing great.
Yeah.
Is the other thing. So
that's going to save them. That brand has saved that brand. Jeep has saved more other brands in the history of its life than any other, I think, company on the face of the planet. Because it saved AMC for the longest time. It saved Dodge for the longest time. It's going to save Fiat. It's going to save, just like going through its life cycle, it's literally just going to save as many car companies as it can. This is because people like fucking Wranglers or CJs or whatever, and they just will keep buying those things, and that will always be a moneymaker for that brand.
And importantly, the people who want to buy Wranglers and can't afford them will still go back to the Jeep dealer because they have to have a Jeep in their head. They already told themselves they were going to have a Jeep. So it's, I can't have that. Well, I'll get this Cherokee or Liberty or Patriot or whatever they call it now. Right. Compass. And I did go to the launch of the Compass and shield for that pretty hard. That was a pretty good car. And I drive them at work now still. And it's like, oh, this is good. I just wish it would not break.
Right.
The cheapest car that Dodge sells is the $22,000 Dodge Journey. It's the Journey, then the Grand Caravan, then the Challenger is cheaper than the Charger.
Yep. How the Grand Caravan, I remember when I bought my Challenger, my second one, it was supposed to be dead that year, 2011. The Grand Caravan has just, it's the fucking cockroach of cars.
They have a parts backlog.
Hmm.
So I think they're trying to wind down. Like, you know, when they did that, the Ram 1500 Classic, wink, wink. That was because they had old Ram parts left over and they needed to use those up. Yeah. I really do think that we're in a case where the only people buying the Grand Caravan are the fleets. And mostly I would mean the rental car companies are buying caravans because they're very cheap.
Yeah.
I think they're going to use up their stock of that and then see what goes from there.
Yeah. That's one of those cars. When someone's like, I need car and I need to transport family and I need to transport people, I always go, just go get a Grand Caravan.
Mm-hmm.
They're bulletproof. They're cheap. They got good horsepower. It's a 300 horsepower car.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and it sounds good.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of straight piped Grand Caravan?
No, I have not.
It is awesome. Like, terribly drony on the inside, as I'm sure you can imagine. But again, the issue with those cars, it always comes back to, well, I don't want a minivan. It's like, oh my God.
Right. Well,
which, that drives me nuts. Well, then you're going to have to make compromises. But it's one of those things where I like the Grand Caravan. I wish it would have died a more like warrior's death than this just slow decay of just like, oh, they still make those? Oh, they still make those? Like, it's just going to fade.
Right.
And no one's going to be sad when they go away. And that's, yeah, people were sad when they announced it. But then it was like, oh, look, it's still alive. And then it was, oh, look, it's still alive. And then it's, oh, look, it's still alive. It's
right.
It's still here. Like, why is this happening? It's fascinating vehicle to me. And I, when do you think that's going to die?
I think that's, they've easily got two more years out of that. Easily two.
Do we get to our 47th president with those things still in production?
No.
You think, okay, so you think, no. All right.
I think they'll have either taken it out back and shot it, or they'll have dumbed down the Pacifica enough to make a Dodge one. I think that's part of the problem, too, is Dodge cannot sell a Pacifica and make money because they're probably still paying for the development on that.
Yeah.
So I do think that that's the next logical step, is that you'll see a cheaper Pacifica, but we have to amortize that cost a little bit more before we start selling the cheap Dodge one.
Right. I know they were talking about coming out with like a Pacifica Voyager and like a couple other like side names for that, like selling it under everything else. The trim levels are the old brand names, which is always confusing because normally it works the other way around. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. So what do you think then, biggest seller come 2021? What are we thinking here? Because that's where I'm just on prediction mode right now. I know we didn't prep any of this. And I'm hitting you with the hardball questions.
Probably the Ford F-150.
Mm. That's a boring answer, though. That's the obvious answer.
That's the right answer.
Yes, it is.
See, okay, answer. Now I'm gonna hedge that with, typically you'd say yes, like, okay, yeah, mm-hmm. They always sell the most F-150s. But in a pandemic-impacted year, there's still going to be a demand for fleet pickups. Fleet pickups didn't just stop being used yesterday because of the pandemic. They were still working and having to do that. So I think that, if anything, the base pickup market has not been impacted. So I think that will continue to go forward.
Especially because I know one of the biggest, at least in this area, one of the biggest like groups of people who are still working and out there like producing stuff is contractors. Like, they did not slow down. So you're a very smart man, Mr. Ryan. You're very smart.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, that's actually a brilliant insight. Could be Grand Caravan, though, because I know a lot of contractors use those.
No, nobody's selling Grand Caravans. They're selling none of those. Good try. It'll be whatever the in vogue small SUV is. I don't think they've sold enough new Escapes, so I think it will continue to be the RAV4 and or the Rogue.
Right.
So they went back and forth for a couple of years there.
Mm-hmm. You're 100% right, man. Speaking of RAV4s, I have a quick aside I want to talk about briefly, which is road etiquette for a particular incident that happened to me. This is a while ago. Okay. So this is basically the equivalent of, am I the asshole here? But like, So come up to a four-way intersection. I'm on the left turn lane. It's two lanes coming towards me and a turn lane.
Okay.
There is a RAV4 coming and approaching towards me. I am in the middle of the intersection, as one does, waiting to turn left.
Correct.
And that RAV4 gets over into the turn lane. The light is just green. It's solid green for us, for me, and for him. And he gets up to the turn lane, and he stops in the turn lane at the intersection. And it's a turn lane, so my left turn is so two lanes it turns into.
Right. But
because Maryland, I'd never want to just assume that the person's not going to overshoot it and go in. So
I used to weaponize that and tell people, I dare you to hit me. And I would put my car in the lane that was most likely to be hit and be like, do it. Make it happen. Make it happen for me. Make my day.
Yeah. Well, we're not all there. I'm an old man now. I'm very concerned. My car is paid off. I don't want to gap insurance. But just a complete stop. And there's traffic coming up behind it, like approaching, where it's getting to that point where I'm not going to be able to turn soon and get in there, and who knows how much longer this light's going to be green. And it's, the car came to a complete stop, and just like, I saw the person just looking at me, like, if you're not on the video, they just went like that.
Right.
So I just gunned it and turned in there. I'm like why, what impulse? Like, am I the A, am I in the wrong here? Let's just be honest.
So he stopped the straight lane so that you could go left.
He stopped in the turn lane. He completely stopped into two lanes, and then there's a turn lane next to the two lanes that go straight. So he pulls, he's going slow. Mm-hmm. He pulls into the turn lane, mm-hmm. and then he stops right at the intersection. And I'm like, what are you doing? And I'm facing him, about to turn, like getting ready to turn left halfway in the intersection. And he's just staring at me as if I'm supposed to do something. Like,
So he was doing roughly the same thing you were going to do, but pulled forward too far?
No, I see. I think it's confusing because it makes no sense.
Okay.
If you're going to turn right, the moment before you turn right, you stop at a stop sign and then you turn right. He did that, but at a green light.
So he
could have just turned right. Like, he didn't need to stop or slow down, and he could have just turned in. And like, it's one of those things where if I just see your momentum carrying you in, I'm just going to turn in left into the other lane, and then we can both proceed at the same time and no one has to stop. Gotcha. Instead, he just comes up, and like, a lot of times it's an area with like relatively like high, like people from out of town in it. Mm-hmm. So sometimes people get in that turn lane, be confused.
So he was part of the vape lobby then.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, out of towners in DC, so I mean, he's a lobbyist.
Well, no, this is Maryland. So this
okay.
So this is one of those things where it's like, he came to a complete stop. I turned, and after I cleared the intersection, he then turned in behind me. So it's not like he was confused and needed to go straight.
He just thought you were going to overshoot it and hit him.
But I was completely stopped in the intersection waiting for him to turn.
And see, I do the exact opposite thing, where if somebody has a left turn yield and I have a green right turn, I intentionally will bomb down the right turn lane as fast as I can and like break and like trail break at the apex and like glare at people like that. Yes. No, you have to wait. You're yielding. I am going to make sure that you don't have that type of situation. So for him to do the exact opposite thing, literally the exact opposite.
Yes.
I have no clue. My favorite is when they're red and they try to make that right turn on red.
Yes.
And I'm trying to turn my left and then they think they can cut out in front of me. I'm like, no. Yes. I have a green yield. Yes. You have a red yield.
Mm-hmm. I this is one of those reasons I just need a dash cam. I've seen a lot more confusing, weird crap since COVID started. I think a lot of it is people have been out driving around more, and I think their confidence level has gotten, it's like the Dunning-Kruger effect. They can't drive.
Right.
But they've been driving a little bit longer than they normally do, so they feel very confident about their driving.
Correct.
But realistically, they've just created a lot of terrible habits, and now the rest of us just have to suffer.
Have to deal with it, right. Yeah.
I just don't like how, like, if I wasn't trying to go somewhere, I wanted to sit there and just see how long that car would have been stopped there. Like, it's one of those things where I just want to be like, what are you doing? Like, why?
Are you sure he didn't have a red light?
I'm 100% positive he didn't have a red light. I go through this intersection all the time, both ways. If you're coming towards me, if I'm in the intersection and I have a green light, I have a green light. There's no green arrow, or the green arrow goes away. Mm. And that's
The green arrow is there.
Yeah.
So you know he didn't have a red because you didn't have an arrow. Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
Got it.
Okay. So I'm like, I'm just very confused. And like, which brings me to another random thing too, is a side honk acceptable? So I was driving in another location, heading towards downtown Annapolis, which downtown Annapolis, it goes from a lot of, picture like old city built like colonial times. And then you have the area outside of that is like, there's a mall. So like you have like all those new big roads. So everything goes from like big to small fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. So a lot of stuff starts compressing. So lanes get smaller, but you still have like, you know, two lanes and a turn lane. So we're driving down, it goes from one lane to three lanes and then to two lanes. So actually it's one lane to four lanes to two lanes. So it's one lane goes into two forward lanes, a left lane and a right lane. Mm-hmm. Left lane is all the way backed up. I'm going straight. So I get over into the, I stay in the, from one lane, I get into the right lane because the other lane has a turn. So the two forward lanes are going. I am in the right of the forward. A guy on the left-hand straight lane decides he wants to turn left, but at the very end of the intersection, merge into traffic. And then, which that's awful.
Right.
But then the guy next to him decides all of a sudden he wants to turn, slam on his brakes and turn right from the turn from the straight lane to go right. And I'm behind both of these jackasses. So like when they like fucking Moses, they spread, I lay on the horn and like honk at them. My wife's in the car who is, she is the queen. Like of like the moment I knew I loved her, like she told me to honk at someone driving like a jackass. You know, normally you're driving around with a girl and you're like, oh, la, 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 la. Oh, I'm Mr. Kind Person. Like, I think it was our second date in the challenge. I was still in the Challenger at the time. And I wanted to get around someone in a passing lane. And she said, why don't you honk at this jackass and get around him? And I went, like, I love you.
Fantastic. You're great.
Yeah. Like, I know that this is going to work. But so I laid on the horn in between these two guys and she looked over and went, why did you do that? Like they're to the side of you. Is a side honk acceptable?
I do it. I don't know if it's acceptable. I mean, like, not the person you want to ask if your aggro or aggressive driving thing is okay. Because chances are I've done it and it's like, yes, I'm okay with that.
I'm looking for validation. I'm not looking for criticism. That's what I'm looking for.
Gotcha. Okay.
This whole show is, right? This was started as a way to fulfill my ego. Like, come on, like, why else would anyone do this bullshit? Just give it to me. I just need it all. I've started doing it too. I go in DC, there's 295 turns, it's three lanes, and one of the lanes turns into a turning lane only. Mm-hmm. And that's the lane I need to be in. And the other lane continues on to fucking Virginia or God knows where. And so I always get into that turn lane and like a nice little like conscientious commuter. I'm just going to be in this lane. And I'm just going to turn. And then people will jet over into that lane to try and speed up and cut around people. And I just have to start honking at them. Like, that's what I do is I just get, they'll like start pulling, they'll turn on their blinker and like, oh, look, a gap, and like pull in. And I always just beep, beep, like honk at them. But the nice thing about the Fiesta is I can take my hands, I can put them at the bottom of the steering wheel, and I can just be driving around and I can just honk and I don't think anyone knows where it's coming from.
Nobody can notice, right?
It's not I just noticed too, I think my camera has been slowly settling.
Slowly but surely.
Yeah. So I think now that it's at like the 8 o'clock position for me, I think we're going to get ready to wrap up here pretty soon.
Fair enough.
I don't know. There was the F1 race though. And I want to circle back to that. I want to know.
Great transition, by the way.
Right. So that, listen, professional. We started this. Professional. It's professional, right? If it's
ish.
Sure. So send us a tweet if it's not professional. But what is, I need a thought. I need your thoughts on the F1 race today beyond just what made it good?
It was already going to be good because you had the best young driver available who's been in the shit car gets handed the like literal movie style golden opportunity. Yeah. Like, you say you're good, here's the best car.
Yep.
And you're 2/100th off your teammate who's been driving this car for 3 years.
Yeah.
This is going to be really good. Then all the pressure went away because the only two main rivals to the Mercedes hit each other. Well, not quite hit each other. caused each other to go into the barrier indirectly. Yeah. So that was interesting. The third car who ended up in that issue went all the way to last place, pitted, fixed his car, came out, and then ended up winning the race. So it was very interesting to watch that. And he only ended up winning because you had a situation where
tires
were mismanaged and you had all of the sort of issues with the Mercedes. And that's a driver, Sergio Perez, who really needed a win effectively. And in theory, that second Red Bull, that's the second best car on the grid, should have won that race.
Yeah.
He he is currently in kind of a gray area situation whether or not they're going to re-sign him. Mm-hmm. The person who's they think will replace him is the guy who won today. So again, if you keep track of all the storylines, this race was fantastic.
Yeah. Not so good for the fantasy, but...
No. It is what it is. Hey, he got his first points. George Russell did.
He did, yeah. No, I'm happy for him. I like following along with that storyline. I think he'll be a hopefully a bargain next year.
In I don't the think FM. So.
No, you don't think so? No.
I think he will be overpriced.
Mm. Well, we'll see. So, there's that. Well, I've kept you up a little later than I wanted to, Ryan.
It is what it is. You know what? Yeah. I'll listen to your crazy traffic stories anytime. Just go ahead and call me.
That's what the people want. They want stupid Maryland. That's what the title should be. It should be Stupid Maryland Traffic People. Like, that would just be a great podcast, I think. I turned into Trump there for a second. It'd be beautiful. It'd be a great Stupid Maryland Traffic People.
This Maryland traffic's fake traffic. All of the real traffic got where they were going on time. We need to count all of the real traffic. We only count the real tolls going across the expressway.
This bridge, I don't believe in bridges. It's a fake bridge. They call it the Bay Bridge, but there's another bridge. It goes over the same bay. How is that possible? It's not.
Your governor's an idiot.
Exactly.
We don't even know who Gavin Newsom is. He's a fool. You should impeach him, but not me.
Exactly. That's how it works. I love it. 2021's going to be fun. I just know it.
It's going to be even better. Yeah. Even better. We're about to see the world's most expensive Senate election of all time.
Yeah.
Very interested to see how that pans out.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be delightful. The...
Shout out to listeners in Georgia. Yeah. Hope you're enjoying your ad campaigns right now. Right.
Well, yeah, that's it. Like, if you're listening to this from Georgia, at least you can guarantee you won't hear
it. You will not hear a political ad for a Senate candidate on this show.
Right. Unless the YouTube decides to stick it in and you're watching us on YouTube, in which case we're sorry. So there's that. Huh. Ryan, any closing thoughts? Because my brain went about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, so 12 hours ago, I was out of it from having to do that race and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, it's good to be back. I think I'm going to be in a spot where I can do this pretty consistently now until, for the next several weeks. Yep. So we're going to get that good. I think we've got two guests coming. We've got a guest from another car podcast, I believe, that we're going to get squared away. And I think we're going to invite Michael back.
Yeah.
On to talk about some more EV stuff and a little bit more professional fashion with a little bit more planning involved now that he kind of knows what the deal is. I spoke with Michael. I don't know if you listened to that podcast or not.
I did listen to that a little bit.
He was concerned that he was going to be too mouthy at first and was trying to be very quiet and professional the whole time. And I said, no. You need to say what you want to say. Him and I were actually in a high school group together where we snapped at each other, I think, constantly. And I ended up being pretty dismissive a lot of the time because the other person in the group I had been in group projects with since literally the fourth grade. So she deputized me for the most part. And then I got to run the show. So he's very familiar with snapping at me. So I think the second one's going to be a lot better.
There we go. Yeah. I always enjoy people come on, somehow, God knows how I've gotten weird, random, like luminaries of industry to come onto this show. And I can always tell, like, when they hit the point where they're like, oh, it's one of these shows. Like, not so much like, oh, this is bad, but like, oh, where they kind of get the vibe. Like,
right.
I get it now. Mm-hmm. I think it's sometime typically after I ask them, the like inside the actor's studio questions, which, like, what's the hardest food to eat while driving? Now I understand your show.
Okay, here's where you're at. Okay, gotcha.
There we go. Yeah.
And he's texting his agent furiously, like, "What the fuck did you sign me up for?"
But my biggest regret is not having those questions because, like, it was Steve Leto was number one, and then it was Bozzy. I can never pronounce his name right. Was number two. He was the number second person I interviewed, and then it was Bob Lutz, and I don't know how. Like that progression, because Steve, no one knew Bozzy back then, which I fucking take credit for, even though he's an amazing person.
He gets a million podcasts. We couldn't even get him now.
No, I know.
The number of people we have launched. We've launched Matt Farah's ability to do remote podcasting and, yep. and Jeff Glucker.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We've launched Team Clearcoat.
Yep.
That's us.
Yep.
Ozzy. Mm-hmm. That's us. Look at Ed Bolian has his own TV show on YouTube now.
Yep.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Tyler Hoover.
Tyler Hoover. He's famous now. Look at that. Yeah, look at us. Yeah.
What is the other one? The guy in Florida. What the fuck is his name?
Freddie Hernandez.
Yeah, Tavares. And like, what is his name that he goes by? Yeah.
So we're like the small trendy music venue you come to when you're up and coming.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny you say that because it's the Gears and Gasoline guys. Like they're doing great. Like they were on the show. I literally gave them Matt's contact information, and now they've forgotten all about me.
Pretty much.
That's fine. It's fine. I'm not hurt at all.
One of the guys on the DFL show, I believe, that I was on that I ruined, or whichever one of Brad Brownell's podcasts I was on that I fucked up. One of those guys that was on there, I was like, hey, I've been on a show with you. You were on Tyler Carr's show at one point. What the hell?
Yeah.
So it's like, damn it.
Oh, this is where we live. But it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of, I mean, Icon Motorsports, that was never a thing before you went over there, right?
Oh, yeah, he definitely wasn't making really cool stuff before I went there.
He wasn't making watches, which I think is his money making.
And the leather, okay, so I messaged him because he keeps showing these baller wallets. And I'm thinking like, oh, that'll be like $150. It's a wallet made with leather and it's handmade. $400 he wants. I'm like, well, I'll be back when I get a couple more promotions. Yeah. I will buy a sick ass wallet from you, but unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I need, yeah. But that's just it. So here's how we'll close this whole thing out, because this is where this is all staying at. Because again, professional.
Very professional.
2021, speaking of going forward, so if you're listening to this now and you are someone who listens to the show regularly and you want to come on the show, send me or Ryan a tweet. My direct messages are open on the Twitter, or you can just email untitledcarshow@gmail.com, or yeah, that's the easier one because the right foot down one goes broke sometimes. But also, if you're listening and you're like, oh, you need to talk to so-and-so again in 2021. Send that out. Send that in a YouTube comment if you're listening there. Or if you're listening via the podcast again, send a tweet or an email, and that will work. And I think that's kind of the best thing. And we're going to work towards, because I had a crisis of, you know, where do I want to go with the show in the future? And I was thinking, well, we're getting close to 2021, and what do we want to do? Because I enjoy these.
Right.
These are good, you know, the back and forth and all that stuff. And we've gone off on some weird tangents, but I think it works for the most part. I want to get back to doing interviews because I think that'll help us too with our workflow.
Mm-hmm. And, I think so, you know, too.
This is a little bit behind baseball, but we'll be able to go out and we'll be able to do, you know, we'll have some weeks with interviews. We'll have some weeks where it's you and I, and we'll have some weeks where it's, you know, I interview X or you interview X, and then both of us and all that. And I think that'll be a nice. And then I would like to get back to doing some fan related ones too, but then I got to pay for the Zoom stuff and get that all upgraded. But that's
right. That's
the price of doing business these days. So, and not a big upfront thing, but we'll see, you know. But I can tell when my voice gets high like that when I change. That's the time to go. So
that's when you do it.
Yeah. So everyone, do the YouTubes and all that stuff, and send the comments. And Ryan, I'll give you the last word after I say have a good night, good evening, wherever you are. Thank you so much for listening.
Smash that like button, ring that bell. Also, have your pets spayed or neutered. Thank you. Good night.